Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
The views expressed here within the programs and chats do not necessarily represent the views of liveparanormal.com.
Good evening and welcome back to Chaps Paranormal Chat. I am Bryce. I'm back this week. I was away last episode. And I guess there were some technical issues, and we're hoping to have Carolyn come back so she can discuss her book with us again. And Kevin will be joining us very shortly as well. The three of us will have a chat. So one moment here while we get everybody situated. Just want to do a quick talk about some of the events that our group has been doing. And one second here, I apologize for the silence. A couple of things that we've been up to these past couple of weeks. We've had a number of investigations come up that were actually very interesting investigations that we did. We investigated the Imperial Theater in in Sarnia, or in St. Thomas, Ontario, or the Imperial Theatre was in Sarnia, the Princess Theatre in St. Thomas, Ontario. And we also had a public investigation and it turned out to be really, really well. And we thank everybody who's listening, who managed to make it out to our public investigation. Just getting Carolyn the password to get in here. So sorry about this. There we go. So yeah, first investigation that I went on a few weeks ago, the Princess Theater in St. Thomas, and we're very gracious to be able to get into the theater. It's got a lot of long history as a church and as a theater. Had some very interesting experiences that night. Nothing really turned up evidence-wise, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it was a bad thing. It was just a great feeling to be in a place like that. And then our next investigation was in Sarnia, Ontario. Now at the Imperial Theater, again, we're very gracious to join to be able to investigate. And Carolyn's going to be joining us very, very shortly. She's just getting situated and getting logged in here. I hope everybody can hear me okay tonight. Like I said, last time we had some technical difficulties, and hopefully those technical difficulties have cleared up this week. The internet can be a fickle beast from time to time. Let's see if she's joined in yet. She's not joined in yet. She should be coming in shortly. One moment here. Yeah, she's doing. So if you want to chat, come on in and chat. But if some experiences. Okay, I'm just going to have her call in through the she's having some problems getting to call in. So I'm just going to have her call in through the guest line here. And hopefully Kevin can join us soon. So we've got some banter going on. Yeah, and we had the public investigation and where was that exactly? I didn't unfortunately go to that investigation. It sounds like it was something that would have been, from what I hear, it was a very good turnout. We had some excellent people join us. That was the 101 of Blog Public Talk Investigation.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. If you desire to speak to the host, please press 1 at any time, and the host will be notified that there is a caller in queue. Otherwise, please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Seem to be having some issues with the guest call-in number. I'm just going to see if she can call in through a different way. All right, there we go. See if she can come on line with us. I'm kind of interested in chatting with Carolyn about her book. She is an investigator with our team. She took some time off, and she's written a book about it's a fictional story of paranormal investigation. I haven't had a chance yet to read it. I have read a bit of it. It's an interesting book. And
welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please enter your host PIN. When finished, press the pound key.
Carolyn's coming in now.
I'm sorry, but I did not hear you press at least 4 digits of your PIN number. I'm sorry, but I did not hear you press at least 4 digits of your PIN number.
So Carolyn seems to be having some issues coming in.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
We seem to have lost Carolyn again. So I apologize for the difficulties that we're having. I just want to talk about some of the experiences that we've had. I recently investigated with Kevin the Imperial Theater in Sarnia, Ontario. I investigated the Princess Theater in St. Thomas, Ontario with Kevin. It had a very interesting feeling to it. Kevin seems to be having some issues getting in as well. One moment. I'm going to go to radio here while we get this story out.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
I apologize for the technical difficulties that we're having here tonight, trying to get Kevin and our guest Carolyn to come on, and seem to be having some issues with them being able to get through. So I'd be happy to chat in the chat room. We're talking about some personal experiences. When we were at the Imperial Theater, unfortunately, Kevin wasn't able to join in on this investigation. We did have some very, very interesting experiences at the Imperial Theater. One thing I found really interesting, and something I've come across before, is the shadow figure that seems to pop up. A lot of times what people say that, and it can be misinterpreted as just your eyes adjusting to the dark and just your eyes playing tricks on you in the night, at night, because our eyes aren't really designed to be able to see in the dark. We're more meant to be able to see, obviously, during the light. And here we got Kevin here. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Bryce.
Seems to be having some technical difficulties getting Kevin or getting Carolyn on again. We're just quickly there. You provided her the information on how to get in.
Yes, I did.
Thank you. I was just kind of going over a couple of investigations in the past couple of weeks that we've gone through while we're waiting for Carolyn to come on.
What did
you think of the Princess Theater?
Can you hear
me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. Yep.
All right.
I thought it was an amazing building. It really kind of lived up to the kind of lore of my little town. Like, it's always been talked about being haunted and having activity and lots of stories out of there from volunteers and people who have worked there and friends that I know that have gone there. It was pretty impressive.
Yep. I completely agree. It was a gorgeous building as well. Lots of great history behind it. And, well, there was at one point that I swear that I heard the two piano notes being played. It is possible that it could have been what church was nearby, the Saint.
There's a Holy Angel. It's called Holy Angels Church, a Catholic church. It's just not even 4 or 5 blocks away, so not far away. Like, I can hear the bells at my house, so they are very loud. It very well could have been that, but the whole building itself, the whole night on its own was pretty amazing, because it fired up 20 minutes into that building.
Yes, exactly. And the one thing I found really cool was down in the basement, the breathing, but that was the pipes. But it was something that you could definitely think would be something unnatural, hearing those pipes breathing in and out. I could see how people would be spooked out definitely down in the basement.
It was
amazing.
It was that breathing, the pipe sound. It was very hypnotic sitting down there for almost 2 hours, just listening to that. It was interesting. And the basement, like, it was just like the mid floor and the basement. The basement seemed to have the most activity. Shadows, footsteps. I got shushed in the ear, like an old church lady would, like being too loud, because it used to be a church, And I was walking in the basement, and I heard these little footsteps behind me. I stopped and I turned to look behind me, and I got shushed in the ear so loud that it echoed down a hallway. And I've never had that before. Like, it was instant, like, electrifying, like, goosebumps, if you want to call it that. Like, it was quite shocking. Like, it took me a second to realize what just happened. I thought it was John or Mike or someone else in the other room, but it was way too loud. It was right in my face. Like, I could almost feel the I could almost feel the breath on my cheek. It was so loud.
Yeah. So now Carolyn managed to join us. She's a friend of ours. She investigates with us in CHAPS. Like I said, she took some time off for a while to write. Now she's back with our team. She wrote the book Coast to Coast Paranormal Investigations. Welcome, Carolyn. Can you hear us okay?
Can you hear me?
You're kind of choppy.
It's better than last time, though.
Yeah. So, Carolyn?
Hi, Ray. Hi,
Kat. Can you tell us a bit about your book? First of all, introduce yourself and tell us about what your book's all about.
Well, my book is called Coast to Coast Paranormal Investigations. I was part of our chat team back in 2010. I had to step back for personal reasons. Really missed investigating. Decided to read stories about paranormal investigating. And in earlier this year, I published the first in a series of books called Coast to Coast Paranormal Investigations. A fiction paranormal team travels through the states and gets into a whole lot of trouble.
But there's also having read the book, Bryce unfortunately has not read the book. I encourage him to read the book. It is very, very good.
Thank you.
I will admit I am not a book reader. I'm a techie guy. I'll read stuff on the iPad, my laptop. I don't pick up books. I rarely ever picked up books. But this one, from page to page, like, it gave me chills. It kind of got my heart racing at some point. I think a lot of it has to do with what we do as investigators. I can relate a lot to it. I can, you can put your mind into the book. Like, you can almost put yourself in as the character in the book. And
absolutely,
it was very, very well done. Like, I very, like I said, very rarely do I read books or give kudos to books, but it was very, very, very good. And I'm and you better hurry up on book 2, 3, and 4.
Well, thank you very much. It actually, you know, having been in the paranormal investigating field at the time, it made it somewhat easier. I already had an understanding of the equipment and the peers, but I needed to take it a little farther than what really happens on an investigation. Otherwise, you know, it would end up being as boring as a stump sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an encounter, an evil entity that possesses one of the team members, and as one of our other team members told me one day, she said, "Thank God that's never happened to us on one of our investigations. Probably all quit." actually should be out in December. And book 3 and 4, well, they're ready. It's just a matter of timing for me. And I have two other projects on the go as well, as far as I've been invited by a group of authors from all over the world to take part in an anthology of short stories, paranormal-based stories. They just did one. Halloween's coming out on October 29th, called the Indie Collaboration, Tales from the Place. And they're going to have a Christmas one called Yuletide Tales, and I will have the links to those on my Facebook, but I will be in those doing short stories as well.
Nice. That's perfect. Awesome. I can't wait till December to keep reading book number 2.
Number 2,
when I was reading the book, I was kind of surprised by, I don't want to give too much away, but by the kind of adult direction that it went with a couple with a couple characters. That kind of threw me off a little bit.
That kind of threw you off a little?
A little bit. Yeah, it was a little odd, but it was good. Okay. It didn't stray too far from the story. Like, it did have a meaning to it by the end, but it was... what kind of made you go that direction? Like, to kind
I have
of
no
make...
idea. It just felt right. I just felt like the character needed to develop and grow, not just the paranormal storylines. And the characters do continue to grow. As you know, the lead character and her boyfriend, that relationship develops. As well as the other two character, or the other character, there's a love interest for him. The second book, I had in just the paranormal, that there had to be the human factor as well.
Yeah,
well, that makes sense. It was like, whoa, this really took a 180, because I was kind of getting pumped up for the. For their investigation and going back to where they're supposed to go, and then it's like, no, we're going to go off in this direction, but like I said,
we're going to go have some
sure
have some fun first.
Sure, it's not relatable to me because I've been married for so long, but it's interesting to take that direction because a lot of people could identify with that because there are people that hook up in groups and get married and meet each other through this venue. I've heard numerous stories of people meeting up the paracons and within groups and that's life, I suppose.
Yeah, and you know what? Haven't some been buried?
Well,
no, you broke up there, Carolyn.
That's good.
It also shows another side of investigating, I suppose, because much like ourselves, yeah. we all work 9 to 5, 10, whatever. We all have normal lives, if you want to quote it like that. But we have very normal, boring lives, work, family, and then this is our hobby. So it shows the other side of investigating.
Exactly. I wanted to show both sides of the people involved, that they did have love interests and families, just as many of us do. Not quite as exciting as some of my characters in the book, but nonetheless, you know.
So I do a bit of writing on myself, as you know, Carolyn.
I have seen your posts,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know a bit about the writing process. How much of your life did you draw on to help flesh out your characters, and how much of your own experiences
came out in the
book?
The entire introduction to the history of the lead character is the entire introduction of the lead character. Her history is almost solely based on my history, the very first.
Right.
It helped me with some pressure issues after my husband passed away, and kind of writing that as the background to me, it lifted up and it just helped to fulfill my writing. It just opened a door for me.
Yeah, I find the same thing too. Like, it's that whole write what you know thing.
Yeah.
Where you draw upon yourself to expand, and then, like you said, things just kind of happen as you start writing. You're like, oh, let's go down this path.
Well, I also felt that for the reader to connect with the character, I needed to connect the character.
Yes, that's kind of the important thing when you're writing a story, is to be able to make the character likable, believable, and somebody that the reader is definitely going to be interested in. And I sincerely apologize that I haven't picked up your book yet. I do intend to at some point, as soon as I get some cash, to grab one. It is available on Amazon.
The book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the Kobo Bookstore, the Chapters Bookstore. You can go into any Chapter and Kohl's and order it. The other books that I'm going to be a part of, the Indie Collaboration, will be available for free on Smashwords and can't remember the other one now, but definitely on.
So pretty much it's basically available everywhere that you could possibly think of.
Anywhere you could think of online. I'm not in stores right now, but if you did go to a Chapters, I am a Chapters author, they will order it for you. Of course, I have supplies here, so people can order from me directly through my Facebook or my email.
Yeah. So
and
tell
that's
us
not
a
hint.
Yourself.
Right.
Well, I'll have to email transfer you some money for that for sure. tell us a bit about your investigation experiences that you've been on. What's one of your favorite investigations that you've ever done?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Everybody asks you that. There's probably a couple. Now, I came into CHAPS. There was a call for guest for Waverly Hills. And as you know, there's a member of our team up here who's actually a family member. She's my ex-sister-in-law, and she told me about it. So my first time going was as a guest investigator at Waverly Hills. And for a first-time investigation, I was taken right from the moment we got there. Little bit more experience now. You know, I have to say my most recent investigation was the St. Thomas Theater. Was my favorite one so far. You could feel you could feel that place. It was insane. Right up until that last crash at 10:30, you could feel that theater was alive.
Yeah, definitely. Did you have any experiences at the theater yourself?
I did not. Not suddenly. You guys seem to have more on the other team than we had on ours.
I think you were with me that night, weren't you?
Yeah. Like, I still think that the piano music cat heard was probably the church bells.
Yeah, I know the difference between a church bell and a piano, though. I'm so convinced.
I didn't hear it. The timing was just too close for me to
It was
10:03 when we heard the last couple of tone, but unfortunately I haven't heard that yet. I haven't heard the audio on that yet. I did not have any personal experiences there, no. But other than the place just felt alive. And as soon as that crash happened and we all went upstairs, I had said, and it was kind of a funny way to say it, I said the place felt dead silent after that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you just knew
yeah,
it was
exactly.
gone.
Yeah, and that seems to happen in investigations, that the whole place seems to be alive when you're at a place that there is something strange going on. Like, we've been to lots of places where there's nothing. You walk in and it's quiet.
Yeah.
But then there's the places where you walk in and you can just feel it, and you know that there's something else there, and then all of a sudden it just stops, and it goes away, and...
Yeah.
No matter how much prodding you do after that, it's just you're just talking to the walls at that point. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Bryce. I just have a bit of a delay on my end. So one of the things I asked one of the ladies from the theater is, when a performance finishes and people are leaving, what time is it usually? And she said it's usually about 10:30. So to me, that just made it sound like somebody was saying, okay, performance is over, I'm done.
Right.
I have never felt a place change that fast.
Well, I got from it when we were downstairs, like all of us were downstairs, so all team members and the couple theater members were there, and we were just kind of talking. Then we heard that loud bang. It seemed like... whatever or whoever was there, they stomped their feet. Like, they were just like, all right, if you don't want to pay attention to me anymore, I'm leaving. And they left. And it was the...
Yeah.
Because when we were trying to recreate the sound and I'm jumping off the stage and it was like that, it was just like, it was like that, I'm done with you, and bam, the like 2 feet hitting the ground and the place just went completely silent. It was, I agree, it was very bizarre, because after that, like being in the basement and upstairs, I didn't, I know we're not a feeling type of group, but the energy in the building changed. Like when we were sitting in the basement, the four of us at the beginning, it felt like there was 1,000 eyes on me all the time. Like I was constantly whipping my head around and looking behind my back. And when after 10:30, when it stopped, it was like I was sitting in my basement. Like it was very peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find with investigations that when it is an active investigation, that it seems to go two ways. Like either if you ignore it, everything stops, or sometimes if you ignore it, it picks up. Have you guys come across that? It seems like some spirits want to be ignored, and some want to get your attention. So you kind of got to play both fields, like do the active investigation. That's kind of why I like just sitting around after, you know, you do your active investigation and you sit around after and you just banter and talk about anything but the investigation, and sometimes that elicits responses as well. With the Princess Theater.
That's kind of what we were doing in the basement, like for the first 2 hours, or hour and a half, I guess, while your team was up top, up in the theater. The four of us, we were just down in the basement, just kind of shooting the breeze, talking about this and that, and like what's coming up and what we've done in the past. And we weren't like talking about like a game plan or what we're going to do, where we're going to hit, where we're going to investigate. And that's when the weird stuff was going on. But when it kind of went back in the investigation mode, that's when it kind of stopped. And whatever.
When we were up investigating, it was quiet for us, fairly.
Yeah.
But we didn't get any creepy feeling.
Yeah, and the weird thing in the basement was, if there was something there, which I think we all agree there is something there, it was like peeking around corners. Like we were seeing shadows kind of like darting forward and coming back, like looking around corners, looking, just kind of standing there and shooting away if one of us kind of noticed it. It was kind of playing games with us, like if you want to say that. And it was like, did you see that? Like I'm seeing something out of the corner of my eye, and you whip over and it's gone in a flash. But you definitely saw something. And John was seeing. He said he saw a face like peek around the corner. He said he saw a full kind of face, and that's all it was doing. It was kind of playing with us. And giving the atmosphere and the setting a theater, kind of role-playing, I guess, maybe you could call that. It just kind of seemed to be performing for us, if you want to say that.
Yeah.
What was fun that night? Oh, sorry, Bryce.
Oh, go ahead, Carolyn. I was just going to ramble about something.
That's okay, so was I. What I was just going to say, too, is what was really exciting about that night, too? I mean, it's a mess followed by awe, because I remember sitting up on the second balcony and taking a picture to where I say that they see that little girl, and looking at my camera and seeing that little girl. And then when you zoom in on it, you realize it was that door behind the stage with the
bucket.
And I was like a little girl with blonde hair. You thought you had something. And then, you know, we have to kick into that mode of debunking, and we realize, okay, that night, you just knew something was there playing with you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think we got too much by way of evidence, did we, Kevin?
So far, not really. It didn't seem like anything was talkative that night. It was more curious. And I think if anything we can come out of there is just more personal experiences and noises and stuff that we heard. That's the frustrating part. That's the frustrating part about doing an investigation like that. Like I saw this, but you don't really have anything to back it up. But hopefully, But they had given the history of the building, and there's ghost stories on their website, and like you can, like, okay, we didn't see a guy with a top hat standing in the doorway, or we didn't see a little girl playing in the pews, or we didn't hear the rattling teeth in the staircase, but the areas that we were, the areas that we're in, were the areas that had reported activity.
Yeah, exactly. And we all, like I said, we all felt something there that night. We're not a touchy-feely team. We're more for the hard evidence, but it would be something I would definitely want to go back again.
Yeah, I'm going to contact the, I should be done the audio review. It shouldn't take this long, but with the baby and work and all that, and two recorders, three cameras, there's probably about 50 hours of stuff to go through. It does take time, but it's funny when I've started, like on our session after the big crash that we heard, that building is just completely silent. There's not a creak, there's not a moan, there's not nothing. Like, it's just silent.
it was an incredible change.
One thing I was talking about when you guys came on, it was interesting that you were talking about seeing the head poke around the corner. Before you guys came on, I was kind of talking about at the Imperial Theater. That was another very interesting investigation that I did the following week. I'm not sure where we are with the evidence review at that point. I think there's still a bit that there has to go over. But again, that was another place that had some very amazing experiences. I don't think either of you were on that investigation. We had a screw thrown at us when people were up on stage. A screw just flew out of nowhere. I was sitting up in the balcony, and I saw somebody stand up in front of me, like a shadow stand up in front of me. And I was kind of talking about how in darkness, light or the darkness plays tricks on your eyes. But when you're sitting in the dark, after a while, it doesn't play the tricks on your eyes anymore. So you know that when you see a shadow peek around the corner after you've been sitting in the dark for a couple of hours, it's not just your eyes playing tricks on you. And that's like what you were saying, Kevin, about the head peeking around the corner. It might be easy to dismiss that as just your eyes playing tricks on you, but you guys are experienced investigators. And seeing something like that is just, I think is completely amazing.
Yeah, well, it's the fact that it was myself and Shannon and Mike, like three people saw the exact same thing when we were sitting in the basement, and like Shannon's like, I see a shadow, I'm like, where? And right there, so I just kind of, you know, just kind of keep my eye on it, and I saw the same thing. And she said, did you see that again? I said, yeah, I saw it that time. And Mike saw the same thing about 5 minutes later. It was like something was pacing pacing back and forth in front of us, kind of just checking us out, just seeing what we're doing. And that was interesting that three of us saw it at the same time.
Yeah, and that's something that gives more credibility to seeing shadows in the darkness, is when more than one person sees it. If just one person saw it, then it's easy to go, that was nothing. But when you got Mike and Shannon also saying that they saw the exact same thing, like I said, that theater was amazing. I would love to go back, and hopefully we can get some good hard proof out of it.
Yeah, I think
I'd go back there. Yeah, absolutely, go back there.
When I'm done the initial evidence review and everything's said and done, I will contact the theater and meet up with them and discuss our findings. I don't think I'll have much to show them, but I'll discuss our findings and ask to go back in.
Definitely, I would love to go back there. So, Carolyn, back to your book. Can you tell us a bit about what your next book is going to be about?
Well, it's just a continuation. This is a series, and so far I have four in the works. So without giving away too much, at the end of book one, the team is decimated and she's recovering from traumatic events. So book two starts out where she's rebuilding her team and recovering from the ends of the investigations out of book one. There's still some problems from that investigation carry over into book two. She thinks she's free of what was tormenting her, but she's not, and so she has to deal with that once again and move on to new investigations. And then book three ramps right back up again to the same level as book one.
Excellent. So,
and again, sorry.
No, go ahead again.
And again, there's still a lot of character development in books two and three. Team members leave that don't come back after what happens in book one, so she needs new team members. So we meet people, relationships build, relationships fall apart. Again, there's a lot of the human factor still in the book.
Excellent. I'm going to definitely pick up the first book from you and get that read before the second book comes out.
I have basically about two more weeks to get the final copy to the publisher, and then we should be out time in December.
Excellent. Well, I think we're going to end off for tonight. Thank you, Carolyn, for calling.
Well, thank you for having me. I just want to take a second to invite everybody to come on to Smash and Goodreads 9. And download our free book of short stories, The Indie Queer, The Tale Dark Places, and your short stories for their authors of paranormal. And I'd like to invite everybody to download it because it is free. And I will be in the Christmas one sometime in December.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, just chatting also. And Carolyn's book can be picked up Amazon.ca, Barnes & Noble, at Chapters Bookstore. Just look for Coast to Coast Paranormal Investigations, The Journey Underneath. And
yeah,
it's got some excellent reviews. I'm looking forward to reading it. And like Kevin, I'm not a huge, huge reader. I'll definitely find some time to read this.
Yeah, you can get cover for your Kindle and your Kobo. It's available in all formats.
Perfect. Kevin, do you have anything else?
I don't really think so. I know we could. There's always lots to talk about. I do. I have an investigation coming up next weekend. Residential in a little city called Milton, about an hour and a half away from me. Be good to get back into residential. Haven't done one in almost 6 months, I guess. And I haven't investigated with Dave and Sandy and for almost a year now. So it would be good to kind of get back with them.
Yeah, we did a residential investigation on Friday night, just outside of Ottawa, and then we did our big public investigation on Saturday night. That was a success. We turned away, but we had almost 100 people there.
Yeah, I heard that was an excellent success. I wanted to come to that, but that was a kid weekend for me. We were supposed to investigate the Chatham Capital Theater, but there was unfortunate circumstances they weren't able to get us to come in. I'm hoping to get back into the Capital Theater, and that's another. For some reason, theaters seem to be very interesting places to go into. I guess there's so much emotion and everything in there that
You want to talk about a theater that's alive? That theater is alive.
Yeah. We had absolutely amazing experiences there both times that we went in there. first time we got three awesome EVPs out of there. And I'm sure there were more, but they were really hard to really... When you're doing EVP reviews, if you can't be 100% sure that it wasn't somebody on the team, you got to throw it out. But if you are 100% sure that it's not somebody on the team, then it stays in. And then the second time through, we had the first time there was the shadow figures stalking around, as they said, and Dave had seen the shadow standing in the doorway upstairs, and he thought it was one of us standing up there, but we were down in the basement. Second time through, Dave had a face pop up in front of him, and just all sorts of amazing stuff. I really, really, really want to get back into that theater. We're hoping to do a public in there. Just trying to get things. It's not 100% firm yet. We want to get a public investigation at the Chatham Capital Theater for sure, and so people can see what we do and how we do it, and be able to experience Charlie McGregor for themselves.
Yeah.
Charlie is very mischievous. I think he enjoys being a ghost. He enjoys stalking up on people and scaring them. That's kind of his thing. it seems like he does it in harmless fun.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm a ghost. I can walk up behind you and go boo, and you'll jump.
Well, I tell you, we learned a lot from the museum as far as what works and what doesn't work. And I would love to work with you guys to share some of that with, hoping to be able to cut.
Yeah, well, that would be awesome. Like, the more the merrier for sure. Like, this would be my first public investigation. Dave's hoping to come down as well. And definitely the more experienced investigators that we can get to come down to help out with the public investigation would be so much the better, for sure.
One of the things that we did is after people left, we did our own investigation again.
Right.
The public is thrown out because there's so much contamination. We stayed afterwards for about 2 hours and did our own private again, and that was really good.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of experiences there?
Anything during the public, we can't tell. The private, I didn't. I haven't heard from anybody else yet, but we'll see what comes up on evidence.
Yeah. That's one thing I find hard about public investigations. Like, I've been on two, both at Rolling Hills Asylum in New York. It's one thing I find difficult with public investigations. You get so many people, especially inexperienced people, that don't know how to walk properly, I guess, through a place.
Yeah.
Or they whisper behind you or something like that, and you think it's something. They are still interesting, and I would recommend anybody who doesn't have much experience in paranormal investigation, if there's a public event, definitely go to a public event, because you will learn a lot from it.
I think the best thing you can take out of a public event is one like places like Rolling Hills or Mansfield or Moundsville or any of those pay to investigate place. Going out in public, you're just going to experience the building, and to say yeah, I've been there, and no, I can't afford the $2,000 they charge for a private investigation.
Yeah.
So you can't expect to come out with 30 Class A EVPs and have shadows and stuff moving in front of you, because it's not going to happen, not with that many people in the building. Even with what was there at Chatham, like 10 or 12 of us there the first time.
Yes.
Even through a 35,000 square foot building, we were still hearing each other through the floor with only 12 of us in there, and being quiet and doing it properly.
Yeah. Definitely, if I get back into the Capitol Theater, I'd love it to be a small group. So in that way, you know where everybody is, you know what everybody's doing, and it's not so intimidating to have a bunch of people run around. It's something I always wonder about as being on the other side, seeing all these people like us running around with cameras and recorders and everything.
Well, that's why I always take my approach to investigations. The less, the better. The less gear seems to get the better results. If there is something there, they're not intimidated by it. They're not like watching us run wires and cameras and TVs and all that stuff that we have to put up. I know if that was me, I would be like, I'm done with you. I'm just going to turn around and walk out and go somewhere else.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the best tools for investigation, and I would love to be able to do an investigation with just an audio recorder and no cameras, no photography, even stay away from like EMF devices and stuff like that. Just simple sitting in the dark with a digital audio recorder to make it a much more peaceful experience for everybody involved. Now, in a place like Moundsville, I kind of think that they get used to it in those bigger places. I would think that they would get used to people running around like that, may anticipate it. But then I'm not on the other side, so I don't know.
I think of a place like Rolling Hills is a perfect example, because that's a place that has investigators in there 3 times a week, every weekend, every holiday, every, like, that building has people in at least five times out of seven. And I would be tired of that, of people coming into my house and making noise and running around and asking me to knock on the door and make things move. I know I would be up and out of there in a second.
Yeah, definitely.
And to pay to go to these places, and we go into places where people invite us in, be it a building or a house or wherever it may be, you're never guaranteed. It doesn't happen on command. They don't act on cue. You get a place like the Capitol or the Princess Ave Theater, yeah, it happens. Like, it very well could happen right from the start, or you could be in there for 6 to 8 hours and have absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Now, one thing I find, like, doing a commercial site, it's a lot different than doing a private site. A private residence, I prefer, I'm going there to help the client out. I'm going there to help them understand what's going on, whether it's natural or supernatural going on, set their mind at ease. Where you go to a place like Moundsville or even the theaters that we've been to, where somebody doesn't have to sleep there every night, that you can take a bit of a different approach to it. I see on Facebook, we got a caller coming through. Hi, who's this? Hello? No. Oh. They didn't want to talk to us.
No, guess not.
Didn't want to talk to you, Bryce.
No. But yeah, I see on Facebook some of the more inexperienced groups going into places that are going into private residences and treating them like Moundsville or someplace where it doesn't matter who's there. Like, the owners of Moundsville know what's going on. They know the spirits are not the nicest of people there. They don't plan on sleeping there. So going in there and antagonizing isn't going to bother any living person. It's going to bother the dead, but it's not going to bother the living. But yeah, definitely, like, I forget where I was going with this, but you were talking about going on a home investigation. I do miss doing home investigations. I haven't been on one in a while either. When was the last one that we did, Kevin?
That would have been back in May.
In May.
And that was Sarnia one. That was June or July.
July, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, home investigations do have a completely different feel to them, and we take a very, very different approach to them, and I like to see people taking a different approach to them, being very respectful to whatever may be there, helping set the client's mind at ease that what's there isn't going to gobble them up in the middle of the night. Because I think that's what a lot of people are afraid of. It's not something that I've come across in my experience. I've never come across anything that's been so malicious that I had to get the hell out of there as soon as possible. I'm more afraid of the living than of the dead.
Okay, so we're pretty much near the end. So I'm going to give Carolyn one more time to promote her book and to say where to get it and to give her Facebook or email, whatever she wants to do. So go ahead, Carolyn.
Thank you, Kevin. So the book, again, is called Coast to Coast Paranormal Investigation. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Chapters, and the Kobo Bookstore. If you want information, you can email me at coasttocoastparanormal@gmail.com and follow me on Facebook by looking for Carolyn Bennett Writer, because there's several Carolyn Bennett. And my other books I'll be a part of, the collaboration books, you can get the Tales from Dark Places on October 29th. And the Christmas one sometime in July, and they will be free on Smashwords and Goodreads.
Okay. That's all. That's all. I'm just posting the link.
On Facebook. You can...
I'm posting your Facebook link into the liveparanormal.com chat room. I'm also putting up the Coast to Coast Paranormal on Amazon so people can go over and have a look at it. There. Again, I highly recommend the book. It is well worth the read, and since I know Bryce, and I'm going to give him my copy that I bought so he can read it and and won't have any excuses, because then he'll have a copy and he has to read it, because I'll keep bugging him to read it. So, from Bryce and I, we both thank you for coming on. I'm glad it finally worked out this time.
Well, me too. Thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed myself tonight.
Yes, thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you, Bryce. See you guys.
All right, have a good night.
You too.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
All right, thank you, Bryce. A pleasure as always. So I guess we'll be back on in 2 weeks, and I can tell you about my investigation from next week. And we'll just ramble on more about talking about ghosts.
All right. And thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good night.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.